Hello, I'm Yelena, and what is your name?
Hello, my name is Rashida.
Rashida, please tell about yourself.
Okay, so I'm an air traffic controller, and I have been working as a controller for approximately 6 years. I can tell you that before that, I had been working for our national carrier as a flight attendant for approximately 3 years. I'm a lawyer. I'm a very enthusiastic person about everything. I have an unquenchable desire to learn and absorb new information. So I'm very into learning and all that jazz. Actually now I'm reading about hotel management, so everything what is connected with hotel management.
Why hotel management?
I helped to prepare one student to enter university in Switzerland, and now she's studying there, and her specialization is hotel management.
Mm-hmm.
Now she sends me the information about it. And as I said before, I'm very into everything, into critical thinking also. So I like reading academic text, and I like preparing for IELTS academic and TOEFL IBT.
So, mm-hmm. What level of IELTS do you have?
Actually, I have only the last one when I passed it. It was a long time ago, 2.5 years, and I got 6.5. But I'm absolutely sure that it's not my level because I help students, and the last student got 8.0. So I'm very proud of myself.
Sure. So how long have you been studying English?
Oh, it is a long story. I have been studying English for approximately, 10 years. So mm-hmm. I mean, seriously, of course, when I was at school, I also studied English, but my level of English was something like pre-intermediate. Seriously, I started to learn English when I was 18.
Okay, so why did you start to learn English?
Just because I understood that actually for me English is everything, because I adore this language, because you have plenty of opportunities with English, not only in Korea, but in everything. Even if you travel all over the world, you can communicate with all the people when you know English, when you master this language.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what's your hobby?
My hobby is learning English. Yeah, so I like reading also. I am a prolific reader. I like reading, and reading academic texts, as I said, and I'm very into global issues such mm-hmm. as child labor, genetically modified food.
So, I see.
Yeah.
So what about traveling?
About traveling, so I travel, but the problem is, but actually for me it is not a problem, I'm a workaholic. I travel, but rarely, I would say, maybe once a year.
I see. So, by the way, where were you born?
I was born in the eastern part of Kazakhstan. It is a small industrial town. The name is Ust-Kaminogorsk.
So, where do you live now?
Now, I live here in Almaty.
Why did you move from Ust-Kaminogorsk to Almaty?
I was a child. I was a kid. And I was approximately 6 years old, or maybe seven. And my family, my dad, decided to move here.
I see. So, where did you study to become an ATC controller?
I have graduated from Radlo College.
I see. Well, and why did you decide to become an ATC controller?
Interesting question. It wasn't a conscious decision, actually. As I said before, I had been working as a flight attendant, I sacked from that job because of Kazakh language. Unfortunately, Kazakh is official language of Kazakhstan, but unfortunately, I do not know it. It is a shame, of course, I know, but yeah. So because of language, they gave me 3 months just to learn Kazakh. But you know, for language, 3 months it is nothing. So that's why I decided to change the job, and I'm from the aviation family. My dad, he recommended me to try, and I tried, but honestly speaking, I can say that money is a prime motivation, but now I am excited about this job. I like it.
I see, very nice. And what would you choose to do if you hadn't become an ATC controller?
Actually, Maybe if I had opportunity, if I had funds, financial help, I would of course choose maybe hotel management because I have a leadership skills, and I think that I can do a lot just to help this industry, and maybe translator. I'm very into medicine also. Actually, I can go on and on.
I see. So, and what do you think your life will be like in 5 years?
In 5 years? I am working, I work really hard just to change my life. And I hope that in 5 years I will achieve my ambitions. Actually, what you believe you can achieve, and I believe that in 5 years I will be really successful and prosperous, and I would like to get one more education.
Which one?
I haven't decided yet. So maybe in the hotel management.
I see.
Maybe a translator. I would like also to learn French.
I see. But so what are your plans? So if you get another education, are you going to change your working place?
Maybe, yeah. Maybe, yes.
I see. Okay, Rashida, now let's talk about climate and natural disasters. Do you know the meaning of the word disaster?
The word disaster, okay, I will try to improvise and to give you a definition of a disaster. So I know that disasters are divided into natural and something like a hurricane, earthquake, human error, it is like Titanic and Great Fire of London, Chernobyl and something like that. And this one category, diseases, something like modern plague such as HIV AIDS. So disaster is a terrible thing.
So I see. So please describe the climate in your country.
The climate in my country, regarding my hometown, Almaty, actually, so I would say that we have a sharp continental climate. We have a very scorching days in summer, so something like plus 30 degrees, 35 even sometimes, and quite cold winters, really chilly, so minus 25.
So yeah. Has the climate changed in the past years?
Actually, I understand that you're asking maybe about global warming, and I would say that for us, global warming, it is rather an abstract idea. Mm-hmm. But of course, for people who live in Canada and Nunavut, it is a reality.
So why it is an abstract idea in our country?
Because I consider that climate hasn't changed.
Mm-hmm. I see. Could you compare the climate in Almaty and Uskhaminogorsk?
Yes, of course. Uskhaminogorsk. I know that in winter I didn't go there. I haven't been there for a long time. But I know that winters are really cold. Mm-hmm. And it is bone-chilling cold here, there in winter. So minus 40 degrees sometimes. Even children don't go to school.
Mm-hmm. I see. So what about summers?
Honestly speaking, I do not know, but I understand that we're checking English, so I will tell you that summers, they're really hot, plus 35.
I see. How can natural disasters influence our everyday lives?
Negatively, without any doubt, only negatively. Just because after natural disasters, we can remember China, earthquake in China and in Japan and in Haiti. So, of course, and disastrous inundations in Asia. So, without any doubt, they impact negatively.
Mm-hmm. So, what exactly can happen after them?
After them, there are, as I said, disastrous inundations and many buildings destroyed, and some of them even blown completely.
I see. Can floods occur in the mountains?
I'm not very excellent at geography, but I do reckon that yes, they can.
Mm-hmm. So, and where do they usually happen?
Inundations usually happen. I know that they can happen not far away from water bodies.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of?
Bodies, oceans, rivers, lakes, mm-hmm. Ponds.
I see. So is tsunami dangerous for aviation?
Tsunami, yes, of course. Definitely it is dangerous, really hazardous for aviation, because after tsunami, as I said, buildings and even runway can be flooded with water, and it mm-hmm. is dangerous.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, Rashida, please place the screen.
Okay.
Now let's talk about radio communications. Can natural phenomena affect radio communications?
Natural phenomena, I do reckon that yes.
Please give examples.
Give the example. Okay, so let me think. So the question was about, could you repeat it?
Can natural phenomena affect radio communications?
Affect radio communications. It's quite complicated, of course, to give you an example, but I will try. Maybe natural phenomena can destroy maybe some equipment, just equipment, yeah, on the ground, and it will affect radio communication.
Mm-hmm. So what kind of natural phenomena can destroy?
So any of them, just earthquake or tsunami or
so you're speaking hurricane? You're speaking about disasters. I speak about natural phenomena.
Okay, so maybe I did not know the difference between natural phenomena and disasters. Yeah, okay, natural phenomena.
It's like weather conditions.
Like weather conditions. Okay, maybe heavy rain or... Okay, I got it. Heavy rain or heavy snow, without any doubt, can affect radio communication.
In which way?
So, for instance, after heavy snow or heavy rain, there can be... Maybe equipment on the ground can be damaged. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and we can lose the radio communication.
I see. What categories of messages have priority in radio communications?
Priorities, maybe emergency messages, something like that, connected with emergency.
I see. Could you explain the difference between a Mayday call and a Pan-Pan call?
Okay, so Mayday. Mayday, it means that... the people on the board and an aircraft, they are in a serious danger. So in this case, the pilot can issue Mayday call. And Pan-Pan, actually, it is not so serious as Mayday,
mm-hmm.
but nevertheless also important, intrinsic. Yeah, so, for instance, they can issue Pan-Pan if there is a person who suffers from a heart attack. Mm-hmm. Yeah, they can issue Pan-Pan. And if there is a fire on board or maybe explosive decompression or engine stopped working, they can issue Mayday. So, I mean that Mayday, it is actually... it is more serious when something happens which threaten the life of people on board.
I see. In what ways can pilots let the controller know they're in an emergency situation when there is no radio contact?
When there is no radio contact, they can set a squawk, especially we have different squawks for such cases, such as 7600 and 7500. So we have a special squawks, and controllers, they can understand that pilot is in emergency and the aircraft.
Mm-hmm, I see. So you spoke about 7500. In which situation is it set?
So 7500, it is set in case of hijack.
I see. What do you do in case of communication failure?
In case of communication failure, we have a special procedure. We have a special procedure, and according to our rules, according to our documents, we have to We have to inform our supervisor, inform our senior controller, and we should, of course, separate it from other traffic, and we have a special rules. We must follow this technology.
I see. So now you are going to listen to a recording. You are allowed to take notes. After you have listened to the recording, you will be asked several questions. You will listen to the recording twice. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Are you ready?
Yes, I am.
A Brazilian pilot was flying a twin jet engine aircraft for an air ambulance company, and they just dropped off a patient in a small town near São Paulo, Brazil, and was headed to João, also in the state of São Paulo, with a doctor and a nurse on board. The aircraft struck a large flock of ravens while over a small village about 38 miles from São Paulo. One of the birds broke through the windshield and hit the pilot in the face, knocking him unconscious. The aircraft was reportedly on autopilot. After several seconds, the pilot regained consciousness and was able to land safely at the airport. He was transported to a local hospital where doctors said two separate surgeries were performed, but they were unable to save the pilot's left eye. The medical crew was not injured. The airplane sustained serious damage of the rear dome and cockpit windshield.
Second time.
Okay.
A Brazilian pilot was flying a twin jet engine aircraft for an air ambulance company, and they just dropped off a patient in a small town near São Paulo, Brazil, and was headed to João, also in the state of São Paulo, with a doctor and a nurse on board. The aircraft struck a large flock of ravens while over a small village about 38 miles from São Paulo. One of the birds broke through the windshield and hit the pilot in the face, knocking him unconscious. The aircraft was reportedly on autopilot. After several seconds, the pilot regained consciousness and was able to land safely at the airport. He was transported to a local hospital where doctors said two separate surgeries were performed, but they were unable to save the pilot's left eye. The medical crew was not injured. The airplane sustained serious damage of the rear dome and cockpit windshield.
So, now please answer my questions. What is the story about?
This story is about aircraft which the aircraft and which was headed to João. It is actually not far away from São Paulo, and in Brazil. And there was a doctor, and there were a doctor and a nurse on board. And there was an emergency. Emergency occurred.
What kind of it?
A flock of ravens hit the pilot in the face, and he became unconscious.
Mm-hmm. How did they manage to land?
Just because in a few minutes he regained consciousness, and he was able to land the aircraft safely.
Mm-hmm. What type of flight was it?
It was, as I understood, it was an ambulance flight.
Mm-hmm. And what happened to the plane?
As I remember, aircraft sustained damage. I do not remember. Maybe moderate damage. Because there was problem with radar.
With what?
Radar.
Mm-hmm.
Nose radar.
Mm-hmm. Okay. And what else?
And I do not remember actually. I remember that the plane sustained damage. Yeah, so maybe from moderate to I can't make out what I wrote. and something happened with the radar. And cockpit. Oh, and of course. Sorry. Actually, because the flock of ravens hit the pilot in the face. So therefore, we can conclude that also the windshield was damaged.
I see. And what else did you understand?
Okay. So I understood that. So give me time. It was a twin jet engine aircraft. As I said, there were no passengers because they dropped it off, dropped him off, or her, in a small village near São Paulo, and then they headed to Jao. As I said, there were only doctor and the nurse. I think that I said everything.
Mm-hmm. What happened with the pilot after landing?
Okay, so thank you for your question. After landing, the pilot was transported to hospital, but unfortunately, and there was a, actually the operation was performed, but regrettably, they were unable to save his left eye.
I see. Now you are going to listen to another recording. You are allowed to take notes. You will listen to the recording twice. After you have listened to the recording, you will be asked several questions. Do you understand?
Yes, I do.
Are you ready?
I am.
Radar, good evening. The 318 is in the best approach to the 07 left.
You have a 21 in H, Major Arabia. Origin left heading 270, going to height 900 meters.
Left heading 270, climb to height 900 meters, Lufthansa 318.
You have a 218 and left heading 250 and climb to height 900 meters.
Turn left heading 250, climb to height 900 meters, Lufthansa 318.
You have a 218, confirm QFE minus 77.
QFE is minus 77, Lufthansa 318, and we are actually maintaining exactly 1000 meters indicated. Sorry, we had to tell you. The reason for this is a temperature correction due to the cold weather in Moscow in order to maintain the safe altitudes.
Second time.
Mm-hmm. Radar, good evening. The 318 is in the best approach to the 07 left.
You have a 218 Major Arabia. Origin left heading 270, going to height 900 meters.
Left heading 270, climb to height 900 meters, Lufthansa 318.
You have a 218 and left heading 250 and climb to height 900 meters.
Turn left heading 250, climb to height 900 meters, Lufthansa 318.
You have a 218, confirm QFE minus 77.
QFE is minus 77, Lufthansa 318, and we are actually maintaining exactly 1,000 meters indicated. Sorry, we had to tell you. The reason for this is a temperature correction due to the cold weather in Moscow in order to maintain the safe altitudes.
Now please answer my questions. Mm-hmm. What is this recording about?
This recording is about Lufthansa 3188, as I understood, which was given an instruction to climb to flight level 900 meters. And I understood that they had some problems. There was a temperature correction, as a pilot explained, and the reason was a cold weather in Moscow.
Mm-hmm. So, why did the controller request confirmation of the altimeter setting from the crew?
Just because, actually, pilot reported that it was maintaining 1,000 meters.
Mm-hmm. And he was given?
And he was given only 900.
I see. What procedure was the pilot performing when he contacted the controller?
Approach procedure. Actually,
why was he climbing?
Probably, maybe it was going around.
What else did you understand?
I just understood that Lufthansa 3188. Yes, maybe it was approach procedure just because he was given an instruction on runway 07 left. Yeah, now I remember. And I remember that it was given runway 07 left, then the controller turned him left and put him on a heading. And after that, it was given an instruction to climb to flight level 900 meters. And then what I told you before, mm-hmm. that there was a temperature correction.
I see. So, Rashida, now we are approaching the final part of the test, the information gathering and relaying task. Imagine you are a senior controller. After having lunch, you are coming back to the ATC room. I am a controller on duty. I tell you there has just been a near miss between two aircraft. Your task is to ask me questions and learn as much information about the incident as possible. Later, you will make a report to your chief. Do you understand?
Yeah, everything is clear.
Okay, please start.
Okay, so...
please, remove the screen.
Okay. So, I am a supervisor and you are a controller on duty and there was a near miss. Okay. So could you tell me when did it happen?
It happened at 1942 local time.
1942 local time. Okay, and could you give me details about this one?
What kind of details are you interested in?
Okay, so... give me time to think. Now I know the time when it happened. And okay, so how many aircraft and did you have when this happened?
Only one aircraft.
Only one aircraft.
Yes.
But you said that it was a near miss.
Yes.
How can
but
it be?
Another aircraft was not under my control. It was even. I couldn't see it on my radar. No indication of the aircraft.
Okay, so at what flight level, what altitude was this aircraft when it happened?
It happened when the aircraft was passing flight level 2,300 meters.
2,300 meters. Okay, so was it climbing or descending?
The aircraft was descending. I gave him instruction to descend from flight level 2,700 meters to flight level 2,100 meters.
Mm-hmm. Okay, got it. So, what is the type of this aircraft?
Illusion 76.
Illusion 76, okay. So, was there any passengers on board?
No information about it.
No information, okay. Okay, how did you find out about near miss? Because I understood that you didn't notice the second one.
Yes, because the captain reported TCAS climb.
Okay. And what about another one? Did you try to find out any information regarding it?
When captain reported a near miss at 1944. And asked me why I hadn't informed them of converging traffic. I looked at my screen and I didn't have any information on the other traffic and no radar indication on it. A bit later, the captain said that it was a fighter.
Mm-hmm. It was a fighter. Did you contact military?
Yes, I quiet military controllers about the activity in the area. And they had exercises in prohibited area, Papa 2. Mm-hmm. I think it was one of their aircraft.
Mm-hmm. Okay. So, and now, where is Illusion 76? Has it landed?
Yes, it has landed successfully.
Mm-hmm. So, are they going to fill in the report?
He has already filed a complaint.
Okay. So, has already... Mm-hmm. Filed the report. Okay. So I think that I have gathered just enough information, and now I will contact military and our big bosses, and we will try to tackle this problem.
Okay, please report.
Okay, so it happened, actually the near miss happened in our area, and it happened at 1942 local time. One aircraft, it was Ilyushin 76, and unfortunately we have no information, was it a passenger or was there any passengers. And the second one, it was fighter, as we found out later, and controller didn't have radar indication and didn't see it in the screen, I mean the fighter. And as we found out later, there was a restricted area, and they were working there. So it happened when Ilyushin 76 was descending from 2,700 meters to 2,100 meters. And near miss was at 2,300 meters when the Ilyushin was passing. 2,300 meters. Captain controller found out about it when captain reported about TCAS climb, and a controller contacted military service. And I know also that the pilot, of course, has already filed the report. So I think that's all, and we will try to. Now I think that we'll have a conference, a meeting with military officers and with our bosses, and I think we will take some measures just to eradicate such problems in the nearest future.
Okay. So, and what was the separation between aircraft?
Oh my God! so it was my mistake, of course, because I didn't ask.
Okay.
Sorry.
So next time, please, don't forget about it.
Yeah, okay. I won't.
Is that all?
That's all.
Thank you very much. This is the end of the test.
Thank you.